cows getting down on the farm.
You know, Greg, this is funny. We're always interrupted by commercials. You've got so much content, and we always try and pack, pour 10 gallons in a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah, there you go.
Flowing over. So we were in the middle of a conversation with Farmer Greg from the Urban Farm about rainwater harvesting, one of four components of water harvesting,
mm-hmm.
or four sources of water for water harvesting.
Yep.
And the south side of your home. Well, let me back up. You said you're not a tank guy, but then you've got a 750-gallon culvert that the north side goes into. So I wanted to ask you about that.
What's up with that? What? So
that's what made you not a fan of storing it after living with that for a decade?
Exactly. So the tank at the Urban Farm was put in 2004, and it was a learning experience for me. You know, it may come in handy down the road if water prices ever go through the roof here, but you know, once again, water's so cheap here in the valley that you know, it's less expensive to not put in tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put in tanks unless you have a conscious reason to do it.
Okay.
So the one on the south side of the backyard, it's an $80 system. It's totally passive, which means I don't have to do anything except a couple of times a year I brush the leaves off of the scupper that takes it down into the ground. And it runs about 20 feet out into my backyard and waters my orchard that's out there. You know, I have fruit trees that's out there. And this is where the return on investment piece comes in at. So $1,400. To put in this tank, and that was with a crew of my friends and neighbors putting it in. So there was no labor cost on that.
A professional install by someone with an ROC license who's got to be licensed, bonded, and insured with a company truck.
$2,500 minimum. So when you start doing a return on investment, basically what you do is you divide the cost of the tank and the savings per year. I figure on a good year, I'm being generous here, I'm going to save $50 a year with that tank.
And so how are we getting there? For every, let's just use 1,000 square feet. For every 1,000 square foot of roof space we have,
we're going to get 600 gallons of water.
Okay.
For every inch of rain that we get.
Okay. 600 gallons.
Yep.
And we get 7 Yep. inches on average. As last year, we only got one, so that's real easy to do the math.
Well, in 600. The second half of the year, we got one.
Right, yeah. Right. So.
Yeah, so we're getting about 4,200 gallons per 1,000 square feet per year.
And what is, and I'm on a private well, so all we pay for is the electricity to run the pumps.
Right.
Out of the well, I mean, the initial cost of the well is
huge.
Close to $20,000.
Right.
You know, price still hasn't. But that number aside, our monthly bill is just to APS to run the power.
Right.
What is Phoenix Water?
Cheap.
Anybody know off the top of their head what's the price per gallon?
I have no idea.
So you would just take that 4,200.
So what we're doing is to
divide it by the
yeah
cost of the gallon.
Right. And so that, you know, I just honestly, the $50 is somewhat arbitrary. Figuring I, you know, if I'm generous, I can save $50 a year. So $50 into $1,400 is 28 years. So my return on investment on that is 28 years.
And you put that in 2004.
That's right.
So you're about halfway to
halfway there.
Your payoff.
Exactly. On the other hand, my return on investment on my solar panels that I put on my roof was 7.2 years. And for environmental things, they say a good guide for that is between 6 and 9 years return on investment.
For solar?
For any kind of project that you're doing.
Anything like that, whether it's water, solar.
Yeah.
Under 10 years.
Right. Under 10 years, that's a good return on investment. So not such a good return on investment on my water harvesting system at the Urban Farm. Hence the reason I like my $80 one, which I don't have to do anything to.
And it waters your orchard.
Yep. When the water comes, it waters the orchard.
Now, I'm sure you said you're on flood irrigation, so that's coming from SRP,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming.
Yep.
I mean, they're monitoring this. If you're getting rain and you're scheduled for irrigation, they're probably not turning on your irrigation. So you're never fighting a situation where the irrigation's flooding your yard and the rainwater's flooding your yard, and you've got this abundant amount of water pouring into your neighbor's yard.
No, actually, they don't. In my neighborhood, they don't take that into consideration.
No,
so it just all comes
on clock. Okay.
Yeah, but again, look at the past couple of years. Our rainwater
hasn't been there.
It hasn't been there. So, you know, it's just a system that I love. When I went looking for the urban farm 29 years ago, I've been there 29 years this fall.
Wow.
The first thing on my list was flood irrigation, because I had it when I was a kid. It's a water right that comes with the land. They really can't take it away from you. Although, interestingly enough, we've gone from 22 to, I think, 19 runs a year. So it is going down, which makes sense. And, you know, I'm honestly a huge fan of flood irrigation when it's used the right way. This is Greg talking, my right way. Let me put it that way. When it's used my right way and we're growing food with it.
And not Bermuda grass.
You said it, I didn't.
And there's nothing wrong. There's a little Bermuda grass at the urban farm that the chickens roam in, and it's underneath some shade trees. And unless you're diligently out there weeding, I would imagine there's not many properties in an incorporated part of Arizona that don't have to kill off Bermuda grass, even in a desertscape at some point. Just the germination, the seed drop, the birds, the water transportation. I mean,
all of that, yeah. Yeah. Well, and you can't really kill Bermuda grass.
Right.
You don't kill Bermuda grass. You have to dig it out.
If I remember right, Jay Harper had some stats from ASU, and it was like 2 feet that you'd have to dig down to guarantee 100% from an ASU study on Bermuda grass. It was. So, I'll have to get those stats again from him, but it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and here's what I found about Bermuda grass. If you're like in my yard, we're flood watering, so it gets a good deep water. It doesn't have to go down. The reason that roots go down in a lot of cases, especially with grasses, is they're looking for water. So if the water's up close to the top, those roots aren't going deep.
They're happy. They don't have to go looking.
Exactly. So it makes, you know, it just makes it easier.
Okay. And, I won't go into it. I was going to talk about why when you kill Bermuda grass, you water it so well. And a lot of that, it's growing and it absorbs the...
Yeah. So some guidelines for gray water.
Yes.
Never store it. We talked about that. The guidelines, Arizona Department of Environmental Quality has a document. There's 13 steps in it, or 13 guidelines in this document. And one of them, a big one, is that you don't ever want to use it for surface use. So you're not using it for lawns. You want to basically, they call it daylighting it underground. So you're putting the water underground as quickly as you can get it. And you can do that through basins and through tanks and that kind of stuff. So that's another one of them. Another is use gray water on shrubs and trees. That's my favorite thing to do it with it. And we talked about that earlier. You plant your landscape and then you put the water on it. So it's a permanent landscape. Another thing, you never want to dead end a rainwater or a gray water harvesting system in dirt. Because what happens very quickly is the roots will clog the system. The roots from the trees, the roots from the plants, just the roots in the area will clog the system. So we have this little trick that we use in rainwater and gray water harvesting where we actually bury a tank in the ground that doesn't have a bottom in it. So that when that water enters the tank that's in the ground, it kind of cascades or waterfalls into the tank. When it hits the ground, it percolates into the ground. But that tank holds an airspace that the roots don't grow up into and clog the pipe.
So you're not backfilling this either with big river rocks either.
No.
This is open space.
This is open space.
Because the river rocks, eventually the dirt would start building up on top of that. And
exactly.
So complete open space in ground, bottomless. Now, is that raw bottom, or do you backfill it with some ABC or rock granules?
No, I just use raw bottom. And it almost depends on how hard your dirt is. We've got some areas here that's got really hard caliche. So, you know, it's again, that's one of those things that you have to kind of determine as you're putting your system together. You know, that's something that you have to figure out. You know, and you do that by doing a perk test. Dig a hole, fill it with water, see how long it drains. Something really, you know, important to do. So, you know.
So how do we, and I'm sure the point and goal is to have as little fall into the tank as possible. We want to get it channeled off, run to our orchard, run to our shrubs. You know, we're not just taking this off and dead-ending into an open tank underground.
Well, yes, I am. And then what I did is that open tank has fruit trees planted all the way around it.
And the roots from the...
Yeah, so that
the
water...
open space that, keeps the roots from going into the tank.
Exactly. So by having an airspace in the ground, it the roots don't grow up and clog the pipe. The water percolates out that in that entire area. And, I've got an old agricultural lot, so the soil's pretty good. And, you know, it probably goes out a good 10, 15 feet in all directions. I've seen the water kind of pooling in that part of my yard under when we have really heavy rains. The water will come up. It seeps around, but it also kind of seeps up and makes a little bit of a puddle that's there for all of about 2 minutes. but it waters a fair amount with this, you know, with this system. So the big thing is in water harvesting systems is slope the pipe and don't dead end a pipe in dirt or gravel. You have to dead end it in air so that the roots don't grow up and clogging the pipe.
How big is this tank underground?
Great question. It depends. I have one in my front yard that I designed. It's the one that's coming off of my bathroom. So I designed that particular gray water system to take the shower water if I ever add the shower to the gray water system in that particular bathroom. Right now it's just a sink. And so we used the tank that's probably 6 foot tall or 6 foot long, and it's a dome. It's a dome that sits in the ground. So it's probably, if we filled it with water, it'd probably hold 250 gallons of water. The one that I have out back in my orchard, I cut a 55 gallon drum in half. So what's that 27 gallon size worth? And that's plenty as well.
Okay.
That's plenty as well. So they don't have to be huge. The thing is they don't have to, you make sure they don't have a bottom in them so that the water can run out.
Got it. The critical part. And like you said, on a 27 gallon, when it's at the end, it's overflowing on the top as well. But when that water goes back down, you've got that airspace that keeps the roots out.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
We're talking water harvesting with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm. This audio will be available on podcast at the end of... how long does it take you, Gary? An hour? 2 hours?
I stay after the show a couple hours and put it together.
So yeah, by after lunchtime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be later lunch for me, but yeah.
And there's plenty of content you can find at urbanfarm.org as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've got a link for a class. I'm going to look it up here.
Okay. And we'll have that link with the final segment with Farmer Greg right after this.